This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
You know, I still haven't gotten to my San Diego connection story of the day.
Oh, you have one every day now.
That was the idea.
Okay.
Actually, today's is a fairly big headline that we haven't talked about involving Kawhi Leonard. Easy San Diego connection there, but also the former trainer at SDSU, Randy Shelton, who has filed a lawsuit against the LA Clippers. This was reported yesterday by ESPN. He got fired. So he was hired by the Clippers in 2019 after he was at San Diego State. And Kawhi was still with the Spurs at the time. But apparently, according to his lawsuit, the Clippers, like, from the very beginning, were like, all right, you're going to help us get Kawhi.
We're getting Kawhi, so we want you here.
We want you here because we know you got a good relationship. You know all about his health. You've trained him.
Yeah.
You're our inside man to get Kawhi.
And which, like, is that tampering.
It started like a years-long, like, basically process of tampering into Kawhi Leonard.
Wow.
They, of course, eventually did. Sign Kawhi and get him to Los Angeles, but then they fired Randy Shelton, and apparently kind of an ugly ending. He was questioning some of, like, the care methods and stuff of the Clippers, so they fired him, and now he's kind of coming back, and, you know, he's got this lawsuit where he's threatening to blow the lid on a potential scandal or just disgruntled former employee. You can kind of read it both ways in that situation.
Yeah, but the Clippers said, well, we paid him his full contract that he was under, and then we let him go. And now they essentially said he's shaking us down for more money.
You can read it both ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, either there's really the big dirt here on the Clippers, or there's a guy who's just mad that they let him go and is trying to get more money out of the richest guy, one of the richest guys in the world.
How long has he been there in L.A.?
Kawhi,
yeah.
This is fourth year, I think.
What are you going to do about it now, 4 years later? Is the NBA going to come down and say, well, yeah, you guys might have tampered on Kawhi 4 years ago. We're going to...
I mean, they should if they find any. If there's any, like, legitimate findings that they were, yeah, they should be at least penalized in some way, draft picks.
You know. I do get the sense, though, that had there been tampering with Kawhi Leonard, it wouldn't be just this guy that knew about it or suspected it or called for an investigation. Am I right? Like, 4 years later, you're going to say, by the way,
you want to keep that circle as tight as possible if you're going to break the rules and do tampering.
Sure.
May just be the GM and this guy. Like, okay, yeah.
Do tampering. Yeah.
Do
marijuana.
Do tampering.
You want to do some alcohol later, then?
You gonna do smoke some tampering so much?
Are you going to do some alcohol at your tailgate tomorrow at the Aztecs game?
Yes, I'd like to buy one tampering.
I would like to do some alcohol later. So I don't know. I mean, what are you going to do 4 years later? Maybe get away with it if you tampered. I think there's a lot of tampering that goes on in the NBA.
I mean, the irony, of course, is that Kawhi Leonard has been a massive disappointment.
Correct.
After winning titles for the Spurs and the Raptors. Been a massive disappointment and unable to stay healthy and on the court for the Clippers during his tenure there.
Yeah,
so
it's good
the tampering
story.
In the world has not paid off in what the Clippers were hoping it would pay off with. If they actually did it, which we don't know for sure.
If I did it. The O.J. Simpson story.
The tampering story.
He should put out a book, that guy.
If I tampered.
If I did it. Paulie, take it away, buddy.
And get things started here with our today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoo-yeah?
All right.
Happy Friday, everybody. We will start off in the NFL. I've got some news here. It has become increasingly clear that the NFL hates Germany. So
what? They're about to play a game in Germany.
They are, and we're going to talk about that game. So if you've been waking up early on Sundays the last few weeks, you might have been watching the London games. There's been a different game for the last two or three weeks now in London as the NFL tries to continue to expand their global brand awareness. And coming up on, what date is it? It's the Sunday, this November 10th, I think. Yeah, November 10th. They are going to go across the sea, the seas again, playing in Germany. And the game, now, they didn't know these teams were going to be bad when they scheduled this game. But you can probably have taken a guess. It's the Giants and the Panthers. 2-5 Giants taking on the 1-6
Panthers. They give London two Jaguars games every single year.
Right.
They know what you're getting into with them.
But we also,
they're like, you guys will take anything.
Just to make
Germans
matters,
will take anything.
To make matters even worse, yesterday the NFL made an announcement, and the halftime performer of that game in Munich, Machine Gun Kelly. So not only do you have to suffer through Giants Panthers. Old MGK.
What a threeness that is. MGK. The Panthers and the Giants. What did we do to you guys? That is the world's worst threeness right there, those three.
And it'll probably be sold out because, you want to go to an NFL game and you're in Germany? You have limited options.
That is a tough. My wife watched MGK on some show. Drew Barrymore or something. She goes, I'm telling you. I go, stop.
She's like got a huge like podcast, or is it a TV show?
TV show.
She's got a real TV show?
Yeah. And my wife's like, I'm telling you. It was really, he's great. I'm like, stop. Stop right this. No, I'm serious. I go, Hannah, it's enough. It's enough. She's like, I'm not kidding. I think you would really be fascinated. I said, I won't be. Trust me. Guys, it's one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. All genres that he does. It's literally some of the worst things I've ever seen.
He does multiple genres?
Oh, does he ever? Rock,
it's like
rap,
Post Malone's now doing the same thing. Just whatever's popular, whatever I can capitalize the most. Now I'm a country singer.
I'll just do country. He's not bad at it. Post is pretty good. He's got Texas roots, you know? The Texas Rangers.
Not necessarily my thing, but I hear like Post Malone's not bad.
He's not bad.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's not at all. But MGK is bad. He's bad, straight up.
It's not great.
No.
It's not a great nickname.
The Texas Rangers. Two times this week for that drop.
The Texas Rangers.
Texas?
MGK.
All right. We'll move over from football to a sport we do not talk about a ton, UFC. UFC 308 is getting ready to take place. And Dana White, I saw this, I think this was yesterday, maybe 2 days ago. But Dana White was in Abu Dhabi for the press conferences for UFC 308. And it was the portion of the press conference where they allow just about anybody to potentially ask a question of Dana or of the fighters. It's not just the members of the media.
You don't have to have like an official UFC media credential to go show up and ask a question.
Correct. It's like an open forum.
Can you imagine if we did AJ Preller Zooms that way?
It'd be amazing.
Just let everybody
fire away
and ask questions that wanted to ask a question.
I feel like if I was a GM, I would let it happen.
You might.
A couple times a year. Like, go ahead, fire away, smart guy. Okay, junior GM. What do you know about CBT? You know, like, I think it'd be a blast, actually.
So while this was going on, Dana White took a question from somebody in the audience.
Yeah.
And the guy stands up and he says, I am an elite, undefeated athlete from Tajikistan.
Okay.
Know how to say that totally correctly? Tajikistan?
I think you got it.
9 wins, 0 losses. Dana, I don't have a question. I came here for a fight on short notice. I've never had a manager. I did it all by myself. Please give me a chance. Dana, I want to fight in the UFC. Please give me a chance. I'm ready. Please, Dana. And he said, Dana was like talking to the guy and he's like, so how old are you? And he's like 25, I think he was. And he goes, and you're 9-0. Really? Why don't you come on up here? And the kid hops the railing, walks right up on stage, shakes Dana White's hand, and goes backstage. Press conference ends. So then TMZ Sports caught up with Dana White after this, and they did a Zoom conference, and they asked him, is this for real? Was this a plant?
Plant, maybe, yeah.
What's going on? And here's what Dana White had to say.
So, yeah, that kid hits me up. That wasn't set up. I didn't know that guy. I didn't know he was going to say that.
Right.
And we looked into it. Looks like he's 7-0. He's claiming he's 9-0. So I am actually flying to Korea for looking, you know, Dana White looking for a fight that's on YouTube. Yeah. The Korean Zombie is putting on a show. He started his own promotion out there. December 14th, looking for a fight Korea. I'm gonna have him put that kid on the card, and we're gonna find out what he's got.
Wow!
And if he, that night, I'll sign him.
If he wins, so he has put him on a UFC nice. Card, and if he wins, he will. Dana White said he will sign him to a contract.
The Korean Zombie sounds scary.
I'm intrigued by the Korean Zombie.
He's a former fighter, promoter.
He's a promoter. Maybe
I think he's a fighter.
You drew the Korean Zombie in your next fight. I'm out. No, thank you.
I mean, 7-0, 9-0, it really does matter who the opponents were in a lot of these fights.
Yeah, it does.
You can kind of orchestrate records, I've noticed, in sports like boxing, you know, depending on
me against
the
Bo's,
quality of
me
opponent.
Against Bo's friends, I'm going to be 7-0, right?
All right. And then,
I have one more question, and this is maybe
Korean Zombie. Answer.
He was the most basic UFC question ever, and it shows that I do not really follow the combat sports. When you say UFC 308, did they just start with UFC 1 and they've just numbered them all since the very beginning? Yeah. That's how they do it. They just count.
Well, they used to be like monthly pay-per-views,
right.
And then it became
so today's
like weekly.
Ben, this is like Ben and Woods, 1,498.
You're welcome into Padres 126. That's how they do it.
Yeah.
They just do it that way. The most simple possible way to name things.
Yeah, this is the 308th event we've done. Yeah,
it's like their Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But they obviously do much more than one every year.
Correct.
Or else... Obviously, they haven't been around for 308 years. So,
Discovery of
how many
America.
Do they do a year? Like 6, 12?
2 events a month.
Oh, so like 24 a year. All right.
All right. And then finally, we have had some fun on this show with artificial intelligence. We've also...
Maybe we should stop.
...been doing it very cautiously because it is, to me at least, terrifying of what the future could look like and could hold. And there's always been...
It's already here.
It is here.
Means
it's been
the
here.
The future has arrived.
But the future is definitely here now, especially in the world of radio,
yep.
Which is what we do. And we've talked about, our job's probably safe. Like,
right.
No AI is just going to come in and be able to rip Padres conversations like we do. But what about, like, music stations or news stations? Could those be completely replaced with artificial intelligence?
I got panicked when I saw this yesterday.
And, the future is now. A radio station in Poland became the first station, I think it was a news station, to dismiss all of their reporters, fired, gone.
Hosts, their radio hosts.
Hosts, they said journalists in this story that I'm reading. They're all gone. The humans have been officially completely replaced by AI, and it's caused a lot of controversy over there. A lot of people are unsure of it. A lot of people are very unhappy with it. A lot of people are curious about it, and they just said, is artificial intelligence more of an opportunity or a threat to media, radio, and journalism? We will seek answers to this question, is what the station leader put out in a statement. Basically admitting this is a total experiment.
You want it also to save 10, 20, I don't know how many people there were, 10 salaries, 10 insurances, whatever, like 401ks. You've managed to streamline your radio station by getting rid of the human beings that present, you know, whether it was music or news or whatever it was. But this is what domed me out. I saw a tweet yesterday from David Lazarus from, he said, coming up on KTLA today, and so it begins. Polish radio station's apparently the first to ditch human hosts and feature AI-generated presenters, a move that's almost certainly being watched by stations worldwide.
I think the dilemma here is that, you know, in, like, science fiction fantasy, AI... robots, whatever, when they take over, they allow us to then all live a nice, leisure-filled lifestyle. And we don't have to do the jobs that, you know, we don't want to do anymore. We can let the robots and the AI handle it. But in reality, I'm assuming that all the people who worked at this radio station are now not living the life of luxury because, oh, well, now AI is doing my job. Right. I can just kick up and drink a pina colada. I don't have to do my work anymore. They're probably not getting paid and pretty stressed about looking for another job at this point.
Did you ever watch the movie I, Robot?
No, I never saw it.
Is that the Will Smith one? I think I have seen it.
I never saw it. But what I do know about, you know, it's a good lesson for anybody in our business now. Don't act like AI. We talked a little bit about this in the live stream last night. So many people in our business already act like their job is AI. You know what I mean? Without any real original thought or speaking from the heart. Just kind of plug and play, and this is the song, and that was, and this is. And I really appreciate so many people around our city that are still doing it and trying to get their voice heard and actually having something to say on a daily basis. But it's pretty scary to think about that your favorite jock or whatever that you listen to at your lunch hour could eventually just be some weird AI voice. It would be terrible.
Should have one of those, you know, prove you're a human things before you listen.
Like a CAPTCHA.
CAPTCHA.
Yeah.
All I have to do is click that. Why are some of them I just have to click a box? And it's like,
some of them have to figure out all the
AI
bikes.
Figure out how to click the box as well.
Right. How many fire hydrants are in these photos?
I can't see now. I've told you, I can't do those. Like the ladders and the crosswalks and the bridges, they trip me up every single
Select
time.
Select the photos with a car.
I'm wondering.
It kills me every time, too.
You're like, oh, that's Am a I motorcycle. AI? Is that a car? I don't
Would
know.
Would I know if I was AI?
Shockwave 760 says, I work with robots. They stock beer. So that's, yeah, I mean, doing things like that. I mean, it is taking a gig away from somebody, certainly. But I think, you know, like anything, you've got to be careful with it. And you would hate, I mean, you would absolutely hate if your favorite radio station was like, all right, well, everyone's out of a job and it's an AI
right
news feed or whatever. I don't know. It's pretty scary.
So we've done this a while back, and I thought it now was just a fitting time to do it again and bring it back. I went to old ChatGPT, mm-hmm. and I put in a prompt that says, give me a script for two San Diego sports radio hosts, Ben and Woods, starting their radio show on a Friday morning so we can get an idea of what it would sound like if we were all replaced.
Here's the current level of the technology.
Just like in Poland, like this is what it could sound like here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, everybody, get your heads right on a Friday.
Happy Friday indeed, Woods. You know what that means? The weekend is right around the corner, and we've got a packed show today.
Oh, absolutely. We're diving into the Padres' off-season plans. What should they prioritize?
Right. Do they need to focus on pitching or hitting? Right. I think it's going to be a hot debate this morning. And speaking of hot debates, we'll also touch on the Chargers' upcoming game. Can they finally get over the hump against a tough opponent?
The Chargers.
If they can find a way to contain that opposing offense, it'll be a game changer. And
Why
we want to hear from
suck?
You, San Diego. What are your thoughts?
That's right. We're opening up the phone lines
Ben
early today. Call us at 833-288-0973. We want to know what you think the Padres should do this offseason and how the Chargers can bounce back.
Plus, we've got our weekly Friday fun segment. You know we like to keep things light segment. Before the weekend.
Oh, I'm excited for that. I've got a couple of ridiculous sports hypotheticals up my sleeve.
You always do. And don't forget, we'll also have our special guest joining us in the second hour, a former Charger. You won't want to miss that.
It's going to be a fantastic show, folks. So grab your coffee, settle in, and let's kick off your Friday the right way.
Let's do it. We're Ben and Woods, and this is 97.3 The Fan.
0.3.
It's maybe a little better than us sometimes. It's like I like how there's no breaks in the action and they just talk like this the whole time, right, Ben? And then Ben's like, yeah, man, sounds so good.
This part killed me.
You know we like to keep things light before the weekend.
Oh, I'm excited for that.
The glitch in the Matrix. You know how Ben gets on a Friday sometimes?
Oh my God.
I'll admit, you know what, maybe it's not that bad.
I've been guilty of it before. I'll admit, I've always said it's very cringy when someone announces we're going to be
having some fun.
Don't forget, everybody, we have our weekly fun segment
today. is a fun segment.
We have scheduled a good amount of fun.
Oh.
And a former Charger.
And a former Charger. So you put in
Marcus McNeil.
You put in ChatGPT, a San Diego radio station, and it did Charger.
So I had to make a couple of quick edits just to make it fun. But the prompt was, I'm reading it word for word, give me a 2-minute script for two San Diego sports radio hosts, Ben and Woods, starting their radio show on a Friday morning. Now I added him saying Friday, because that's how we do it here. And I had to change the phone number to our current phone number. Other than that, it actually looked up Ben and Wood San Diego Sports Radio because it already put in 97.3 The Fan. I did not add that part.
They knew us.
They didn't know us that well, though, because I don't know that we're going to spend too much time previewing the upcoming Chargers game and breaking it down with, like, Hank Bauer today.
Former Charger Hank Bauer.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Love this. Malcolm Floyd coming up later in the show.
Oh,
I'll talk to Lo'Neal anytime, Diesel, if Lo'Neal wants to come on the program. All right, coming up next.
Our fun segment.
All right, let's have some fun.
Friday fun.
Oh, it will be fun when we have Friday fun. Can you give away those Dia de los Deftones tickets, New York Mike? You've been waiting for it for hours. That is happening. I do have my Saturday, super sexy Saturday college football lineup for you as well. First, though, traffic here with AI Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan. Sing along, Woods. You just went and saw him.
I did.
This group.
Well, I missed this song. It was the last song of the night, Blizzard of 77. And I was home in bed.
Well, I know all this because, as Pauly just put in the AI, Ben Higgins really enjoys the local concert scene and music.
Yeah, Woodsy asked
me. AI knows me so well.
We went to break. He goes, hey, ask ChatGPT like, if it knows what Ben likes.
Right. Let's see how good this thing is.
Sports. Said Ben likes. Big fan of local teams, especially the Padres.
Yeah, okay.
And Chargers. Okay. And often discusses games and player performances. I'd say that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But then number four says music. Ben has a passion for music.
Oh, God, does he ever.
And often incorporates it into his show, discussing concerts and new releases.
I'm the incorporator that way.
So who's playing this weekend that we should be in the know about?
Well, I don't know about this weekend, but I can tell you next Saturday, a great group called the Deftones is coming to Petco Park. And right now, I personally am giving away two tickets to the sold-out show featuring the Deftones, Idols, Paris, Texas, and more. Call now, sixth caller, 833-288-0973. Be patient. Pauly will get to you, 833-288-0973. Chance to win and join my friend Woods, who I also hooked up with tickets at the Dia de los Deftones.
No.
I didn't?
No.
Even though my local love of concerts and music shines through every morning here?
No.
You had a different hookup.
No.
The old Visa hookup.
Credit card. Yeah.
The MasterCard hookup.
I said, how much? Oh, all right. Sounds good. Another experience for me and my son. That's all I care about.
Could have used that money to have someone build something at your house for you.
Can't take it with you is what I keep telling myself, and I don't plan
That's
on taking
true.
Any of it.
No, and I do agree with that, but you also can run out of it before you go, which I don't want that to happen either.
I've never been a big worrier about things like that, so I'm a big YOLO fan these days.
All right. Let's see. It is time for my super sexy Saturday college football lineup. If you have any interest in watching some college football this weekend, there's always, like, you know, 80 games or something.
Yeah.
So to simplify it a little bit, give you the best of. A little bonus, if the World Series game is not of intrigue tonight, there is actually a pretty good game at 7:30. It is in the Mountain West. Boise State, 17th ranked team in the country at UNLV. Winner is probably your Mountain West front runner and potential playoff contender. So one of the biggest games in the Mountain West is tonight. Tomorrow morning, Woods, you'll flip on the TV at 9 a.m. on ABC for number 12 Notre Dame at number 24 Navy's. The undefeated midshipmen face their toughest test of the season. Well, you're nervous because if Notre Dame can lose to, who do they lose to?
Northern Illinois.
Yeah. They certainly can lose to Navy on the road.
I mean, I'm almost expecting it to happen.
But if they win, they be top 10 team in the country again, despite that loss
despite
to
that,
Northern
that
Illinois.
Hiccup. Yeah, it's a big one, man. 14-point spread is a massive trap.
12:30, middle of the day, I'd recommend on CBS, number 20, Illinois. No Northern, just Illinois. At number 1, Oregon, as the new number 1 Ducks play as the top-ranked team in the country for the first time in over 10 years, and facing a one-loss Illini team in a fairly important Big Ten matchup early in the season.
It's crazy to say a one-loss Illini.
It's crazy to say that Illinois and Oregon is a Big Ten big matchup.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But, yeah, that one is actually pretty important. At 4:30, you've got number 8, LSU, at number 14, Texas A&M. The Aggies have bounced back from that season-opening loss to, was it LSU that went into Texas A&M and beat them? I'm trying to remember.
It's Notre Dame.
Oh, that's right. That was Notre Dame that went in and beat them.
Yeah, that's right.
That is correct. So did you know that LSU and Texas A&M are the only two SEC teams without a conference loss? Every team has lost at least one game in the SEC. Every team has also lost at least one league game already, except for LSU and Texas A&M. They're both undefeated in the SEC, which means after Saturday, there will only be one team that even is undefeated in conference
That's
play.
That's amazing.
Which means the winner is in really good shape to at least be in the top two and advance to the title game at the end of the year. So this is a
huge game.
Super big game in that conference. And then tomorrow night, best game's probably Washington State SDSU, the one that I'm going to be at on CBS Sports Network at 7:30.
Is he serious?
There's really not a lot. Look at the other options. They're really like Hawaii against Nevada or something. I mean, there's just not. They just don't put the late game. Now that the Pac-12 is gone, they don't have the great night Saturday options that they used to have anymore. They've kind of gone away. So there's your full day of lineup.
Okay.
How dare I what?
You know what?
I haven't put SDSU in any of the best matchups all year.
That's true.
Yeah, for a reason.
For a reason.
Exactly. But in this case, they were, I think, clearly the best matchup.
Clearly.
All right, we'll take time out. We'll come back.
Big baseball game going on tomorrow night.
Yeah, the World Series.
I get that. I'm not forcing anyone. This is not mandatory viewing by any stretch of the imagination. You don't have to watch any of those games. I just do it as a public service.
The one game I want to watch, I can't because I have youth soccer to go watch. So.
At 9 a.m.?
At 10.
Notre Dame?
Yeah. So we get there at 9, as you know, 9:30.
If all goes well by 9:30, Notre Dame will be well in control.
They'll probably have possessed the ball one time, gone 3-and-out. Navy will be running a 12-minute drive for a touchdown. What are you talking about?
You know your
about?
Navy football.
Yes, I do know my Navy football. Oh, I hate it. I hate it. It's the worst game of the year.
All right, we will wrap things up with more Friday fun in our final segment before Annie and Elston. Some things Ben likes. Paulie's giving away those tickets as well on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Congratulations to Romy, who won the tickets to Dia de los Deftones. Romy.
What'd you call it?
Romy. Dia de los Deftones.
Kind of
not like Jim Rome. Rome.
No, not Jim Rome.
Come on.
God.
And smack. Deftones.
Swear to God. Chino. I'm up against
it. I can see him being a fan.
I'm up against it because the band that plays before them is a band called Idols, who I have been wanting to see. And I hear they put on the most incredible live show that is just full of energy. But I have a 6-year-old that I'm taking with me, and there's no chance on the planet because they'll sit for two bands.
You don't want to go too early, wear out before the Deftones even take the stage.
The dude is constantly bored. You could be standing in the middle of a fireworks display. He's like, is that it? All right, I'm bored.
Now, is this a main Petco Park stage now, not Gallagher Square?
No, they've opened the whole place, and there's stages in a couple different places. They have all these cool exhibits, and they have an ofrenda and everything. It's
just
an ofrenda where they have, like, you can bring your
relatives. Oh, to, like, your actual Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah, it is just... They just do such a brilliant job, and every year it just goes up and up and up and up. And so I'm really up against it. So I might have to buy him something that he wants.
Well,
so he'll sit and watch two bands with
me. What time is it start?
Oh, it's like an all-day thing. I mean, it starts at like 1 or something or 2.
All right, but the Deftones don't go on
until they're the last band.
Late in the day.
Yeah. And Idols, I think, is right before them.
Is it Deftones or the Deftones?
It's Deftones, yeah.
Just Deftones.
Deftones, yeah. So... But got good seats for us, you know. So hopefully we can have a little area to hang out in, give him snacks so he'll sit.
What about this? What about you go earlier and then someone drops him off?
Hannah? He's going to drive down to Petco Park and dump him off now.
I'll just put him in a lift.
I'll make him. Yeah, that's probably fine. I'll make him. I'll just make him wear it. And maybe you just go for the last five or six songs of Idols, you know, but it should be a really good show. And I love that they do it here. It's a huge, huge deal and so fun. It's just beautiful how they do it. So cool.
This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon or get the fan favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go. Final check of traffic right now here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, official picks, just to be on record before the series gets started.
You already made yours.
I know.
You can't waffle now.
I'm not waffling. I said Dodgers in five, but man, it probably gets back to L.A., so I'll say Dodgers in six.
Still.
Is that waffling? I don't know. Dodgers in six.
Yanks in four.
Yanks in four.
You were gone. You're at Disney. I said Walker Buehler, Ferris Buehler, doesn't matter. Yankees in four.
I told you my
Yankees in six is official prediction.
What I'm really rooting for is Dodgers win, Yankees win, Dodgers win, Dodgers win, Yankees, Yankees, Yankees. If that's the case, I win $10,000. So that's what I'm really. Dodgers win tonight.
It's like a Yankees 7-way parlay.
Yankees win tomorrow. Dodgers win the next two. The Yankees win the final three, which seems a bit unlikely, but you never know. It's the World Series. It's baseball. Anything can happen.
My goodness, the hand wringing if the Dodgers blew a 3-1 lead.
Could you imagine?
In the World Series.
It would feed families in this town.
Dave is safe at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Even if they lose?
Yeah, I think so.
Even if they blow a 3-1 lead? There's no circumstances that you can see where the Dodgers would make a change next
I would
year.
Never say never, man. I would never, never, ever, ever say never when it comes to baseball and things like that. One of the guys that was rumored potentially, if Dave did falter, to replace him is our beloved Skip Schumacher, who also will be joining us Monday to talk some World Series. Texted with him last night a little bit. Wanted to get his... I mean, obviously, you get a big league manager on to talk about it. It must be fun for him, too. Like, managing those games must be really fun, but they're also pretty excruciating. As he managed in the playoffs last year, he's been in playoff games, been in World Series games. He knows what this is all about. Must be fun to watch your fellow manager be like, wow, I wouldn't have done that. Wow, I can't believe you did that here. So we'll have him on for that perspective on Monday.
That'll be interesting, just after the first couple of games, just to get his read on what he's seen so far
in
the series.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So excited. I mean,
are you going to ask him, like,
no.
Who are you talking to, anything like that?
No. I want him as an analyst only. Right?
Not breaking any news.
No, just to analyze him.
Is he up for the White Sox job?
I'm sure he's been asked. Yeah.
I'm sure he would be.
I'm sure he's been asked. I don't know that anybody wants that gig. You know, if you've got some skins on the wall, if you're trying to get back into the game, maybe that's the gig for you. But Juan Soto's birthday today. It'd be kind of cool to see him go yard off Flaherty in the first. Should be interesting, man, to see. You get the feeling, man, if Jack Flaherty can navigate the first inning, then Dodgers have a good shot. If he can't, and it's...
Same thing's true for Garrett Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, it is...
Both tops.
Both lineups are so dangerous right at the top that, you know, I don't remember ever watching baseball like I have this postseason against the Dodgers going, it's the omnipresent threat of coming back around in the order.
Well, especially now that Mookie is absolutely raking, or he was... it just makes that lineup insane.
Freddie says he's healthier, feels a lot better than he did. We'll see if that's really true or not.
And even if he's not, you know, Muncy and Kike have done major damage this postseason. Major damage.
Well, so, Muncy keeps the lineup churning 100%. With his walks, which is very valuable. Kike's done major damage. Teoscar has done some major damage for that team.
Yeah, I mean, didn't get a hit until the last game of the last series, but... In that particular series, but it was huge hits. So they got a lot of confidence. They got a lot of good players. It's going to be a dogfight, man. Who did we talk to? Eno. We were talking to Eno yesterday. He said, you know, when you talk about the kind of bottom part of the Dodgers order, it is way better than the Yankees' bottom part when you're talking about Volpe and Wells and guys like that. And he's right. You know, Tommy Edman has been insane for that team. Insane. And he, you know, he was hitting fourth in the last game against the Mets. He could hit in the seven hole. You know what I mean? And just lengthen that lineup. They got Gavin Lux coming back. They're talking about bringing Miggy Rojas back, even though I don't know why you would. I think you just keep rolling with what you have. But, you know, Dave, if he wants to get those veterans in there.
The Dodgers are getting Vessia back, it looks like.
Yeah,
looks like he missed the last series. The
better.
Yankees are getting Nestor Cortes back. You know, we'll see how the health of the teams plays out during the series. But to me, again, my reasoning is simply that bottom of the lineup.
Now, and the bullpen.
In one series, you know,
anything
Anthony Volpe could end up being the World Series MVP. We've seen so many unlikely World Series MVP that this is all contingent on, you know, the small sample size randomness of baseball.
Yeah.
But I've seen enough Dodgers baseball this year that, as from the opponent's side, it's very hard to get through that lineup.
That lineup is gnarly, man.
And even when you're at the bottom of the lineup, it's not like there's a huge let up. And then once they do something, you've got that top of the lineup coming back at you again.
Tim Hill versus Shohei Ohtani is going to be key
in this series. You will definitely see that.
Yep.
And you will see how many times, I mean, Vessia Judge or Vessia Soto, you'll see a lot of lane matchups,
yep,
with guys trying to get those big hitters out.
Trinan Stanton. I mean, it's I can't wait to see what the lineups look like, how they're going to plan. It's going to be fun, man. It's a World Series. It's always fun. Go Yankees.
All right. Before we go, Pauly, if you would, a few things Ben likes on a Friday. I like the tanginess of the cranberry. Ooh. I like reflecting. Rock and roll, too. You know I do. I like NIL. I like my standard, very uninteresting haircut. I do like hearing people talk about how well it's going for the Padres. I like numbers. Oh, I like the bits. I like to be educational. I like when I get up, have a glass of cranberry juice cocktail. I like Adam Major. I do like butterscotch.
God.
I like your tweets a lot. I still like this deal. I like to live my life after another famous Benjamin. Benjamin Button. I like when the Padres take 2 of 3 from the Dodgers. I would have liked to have tried something else. I like Darren. I've always liked Darren. I like watching LeBron and Anthony Davis. Sex by the fire at night.
Whoa.
That's what I like. I like Jake Cronenworth. The last couple of days, I really liked his swings. I do like horses. I like the Padres lineup. I like when things just flow perfectly. But I like Indian food. I just like a good, honest answer. I've liked what I've seen from Donovan Solano so far. I like that idea. I like 18 games in 18 days. You know, I like where the Padres are. I like that we won as a team.
I do,
all
too.
All of us together. I like to picture people actually in a recording studio. I like the way the Padres play baseball. What I like is the variety of the wins.
Yeah.
I liked everything about this week.
Makes one of us.
Yeah, this wasn't the greatest week in history.
Yeah, it happens.
Long. Again, it's hard to move on until this season's over.
Correct. Sometimes you just got to take a 1 for 4 and just be happy that you get the one. You know, it happens. It's like, hey, listen, do your best.
I did. There were some things that truly, though, your basketball excitement was something I really, really did like about this week.
Well, and as soon as baseball season's over, you know, I can get fully into it and really delve into my Memphis Grizzlies. How are they doing, by the way? 1-1?
Have they even played twice yet?
I think they played twice.
Did they play
twice?
They
won the first game.
I think most teams have. I know Boston's 2-0, but after that, I don't know if anyone else has played twice yet in the NBA. I did see Adam actually sent me like 11 o'clock last night. He specifically said, I'm going to send this to you and not the other guy.
A text?
A text, yeah. Of Nick, what's his name? Nick Wright was doing his.
Yeah.
Basically, like, he is a huge NBA fan who's becoming disillusioned with the game just because of all the three-point shots that are going up. And, like, how do you fix that in basketball? I don't mind. I think three-point shots are the second most exciting thing on offense behind, like, a dunk.
Slam dunk.
But he said the problem is the teams have come to realize a three-pointer is just worth 50% more than a two-pointer.
Sure.
So they're just going to keep chucking them up
until
and chucking them up.
Yeah.
And what do you do? He said the easy solution would be, make two-pointers worth three and three-pointers worth four. And then it's only a 25% difference. So it completely changes the math. But all the scoring records then go out the window because, you know, guys are going to be scoring 70 a game because all you're getting are 3 and 4 pointers the whole game.
What
so
if
you can't
moved,
really do that.
What if you move the three-point line back?
He suggested that as well. Turn it to a real arc because a three-point line pinches in the corners. So instead, you just wouldn't be able to shoot a corner three. It would just be an arc that ends at the sideline at some point and keep that, you know, shot further away from the basket.
That's interesting.
To make three-point, you know, truly a tougher shot.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But I don't want to lose, like a Steph Curry, you know, the 35-footer where he knocks it down or, you know, Caitlin Clark in the WNBA.
I don't think you lose it, though.
Those are fantastic. Well,
too bad for Steph. It's his fault. He broke the NBA.
Yeah.
Him and Clay
being
and
so
the Splash
good,
Brothers of the mid to late 2010s. All the kids that were in middle school and high school watching them, they're like, well, all I'm going to do now is shoot threes. Now those are the pros that you're seeing.
The other suggestion was make dunks worth three, which would be interesting as well. You'd have a lot of people going for dunks at that point. All right, we are done with the week. Annie and Elston will give you their final World Series thoughts and more coming up on the next 4 hours here on a Friday. For Paul Reindl and Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.